Well, praise God. Let's snuggle up to a Bible. If you're here without one, I'm sure there's somebody right near you that would love to share. And thanks be to God that we search the Scriptures to see that those things are so. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles back up to the fourth chapter of Revelation. And we're going to continue on in this fourth chapter. And remember last week, we entered into this precious chapter and oh my, the throne, and in that throne we saw the two stones. We saw the jasper and the sardis. We saw the type so clearly of the bride with the bridegroom. The trumpet blast is sounded. The first trump has been given, and the bride has been caught away. And then after we saw that vision of the throne there in verses 4 and 5, we saw the 24 elders. And we saw very clearly, I believe, in again, the evidence, without a doubt, that these are the full overcomers of the Old Testament. But now tonight, we're going on in verses 6 through 8 to see the descriptions of the four living ones. And these four living ones, praise God, we will see and rejoice that this is, again, the bridal company, the ones that will rule and reign jointly together with Jesus Christ, in the midst of his throne. That means in his throne. Praise God. And we will see completely that they are like him. They have grown from glory to glory into the very image of him. Praise his name. So in verse 6, we'll pick it up there of chapter 4. And it says there, and before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were the four beasts, four living ones, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Praise God. And we thank the Lord how sweet this is. And I pray tonight that this will just be such sweet revelation and rejoicing to those that have a vision of it, and those that are coming into it, how truly the simplicity of the gospel of Christ, when we do go line upon line, precept upon precept, and when we do rightfully divide the word of God. So as we begin here tonight, it's on my heart that we leave no doubt to what these four creatures are. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. Again, speaking of the four beasts, or these four living ones. So in chapter 5, 8 through 10. It says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now this is speaking of the four beasts and again the 24 elders. So, I can say, and you can say, very sweetly, securely, and soundly, these four living ones are humans. Amen. Praise God, they're people, there's no doubt. This is exactly what this, they're redeemed. The only thing that can be redeemed is a soul. Praise God, there we go, the man was given a soul. And hallelujah, that a soul that believes in Christ Jesus is redeemed. And again, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, it's so obvious that these are people. But yet, so many Christians, I don't care what the world thinks, but I do I do care for my brothers and sisters in Christ. We should. And I am sad when ones just get into thoughts that are not correct, when they have been told things just because they've been told these things. And, you know, some think, well, these are angels or these are celestial beings. Just read the Word of God like we just did. Just hear the Word of God and then believe the Word of God. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Instead of what some story I've heard or something I thought I've known all my life or what a religion told me or a theologian told me, let's have enlightened eyes of understanding that only come through what the Bible has told me. Amen? It's not what I believe, it's what the Bible says. And that's what, by the grace of God, we need to settle down in. So, just like these 24 elders, as we saw so clearly last week, they didn't just appear out of nowhere. They just didn't, this thought of 24 elders just came up all of a sudden. No, they were mentioned and they were known in the Old Testament. Praise God. They were clearly seen, as we saw that in Hebrews 11, the worthies of faith. The cloud of 1 Thessalonians 4. So we know that, praise God, who these companies are. And the same thing goes, praise God, for the bride of Christ. And the same thing, praise the Lord, for these four living ones. The bride, praise God, was revealed over and over and over and over in the Old Testament. It was just that. It was a hidden thing. Amen? You know, we've talked about this many times, like Sister said about the lady that she met. Her favorite book is the Song of Solomon. Well, if you read through the Old Testament and you get to the Song of Solomon, it's kind of like, wow, what is that doing there? It's a very intimate, personal book, you know, and many, you know, have basically said, well, this is just a marriage handbook. What do you mean it's a marriage handbook? What do you mean this is just something that, you know, is just kind of like a personal thing or whatever it is? No, it has a very, very, very deep meaning. And brothers and sisters, those deep meanings of the Old Testament were revealed through the gospel that was given to Paul. And that's not just a thought that I have or anybody else has. It, again, is what the Word of God tells us. It says in all of Paul's epistles, in one way or another, that the prophets and the sons of men that wrote those things in the Old Testament, they wanted to know what they were writing. They wanted to look into those things and understand exactly why they were writing those things. Look, these were men and women that loved the Lord. They loved God. They believed God. And these ones that God had visited, the Holy Spirit had given them that encouragement to write the Word, hallelujah. Again, it was given of the Spirit, but it was written through the hand of men. We understand that. But they knew the Lord. They believed the Lord. But don't you think at times when they were writing, and matter of fact, even Daniel says it, Lord, I want to know what I'm writing about. I really want to understand these things that you're telling me, these visions that I have, what do they mean? And the Lord told Daniel very clearly. He said, you just write those down. It's been shut up to you, and you just go on loving me. Amen. And as we go through all of those centuries later, here comes the chief of sinner on the road to Damascus, and the light shines, hallelujah, and what was given to him was the dispensation for the church age, the mystery that had been hidden from the sons of men, from the prophets, as even Peter said, they wrote those things for us. Amen. It wasn't for them. And Paul said, and that mystery is Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and his bride. Praise the Lord. So again, that precious type of the bride, just like the 24 elders, it's all in the Word of God. It was back there, praise God, in the very beginning. Adam he's going to have a wife. But the Lord didn't decide to just take up a bunch of dirt again and breathe into it and mold it. No. He said, you know what? We're going to have a sleep fall on Adam. Just like the sleep that the Lord talks about in 1 Thessalonians 5. There is a slumber that's on the church today. And Adam represents the body of the church. And unfortunately, the church is sleeping. As we read through the seven churches, think of all the type of Christianity that's going on today. almost to the best of it was, you've done all of these things, wonderful Ephesus, but I have one thing against you. You left your first love. How many churches today, how many denominations today would you truly label that Christ Jesus is their first love? You ever thought of it that way? Not to speak in judgment, I wouldn't even put the names. But think about the big religions of the world today. Their first love, for the most part, from what I see, is basically service. Serve it. Going out and doing things for man. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm thankful to God. We should be aware of different needs and things of that nature. But that's not the paramount thing. Jesus even said, the poor you'll always have with you. Me you'll have but a little while. We better be about the things of God. Martha was a wonderful servant. She was just setting that house afire. She was critical to everybody else because they weren't pulling their own weight. And she let Mary know it full and well. But Jesus put a stop to that right then, didn't he? He said, Martha, you're troubled, honey. And don't you touch her. Don't you bother this one. She has chosen the better part. Amen. Amen? Praise God. See, we have to get out of this feeling. We have to get out of, again, this, what I comprehend as a religious way with God, and begin to really believe the word of God if we truly are going to follow Paul as he followed Christ. Amen. So these things are clearly shown. Mentioned there about the rib portion that was taken out of Adam while he was asleep. And there God made his wife. Hallelujah. Right there. Sets that afire. We think this, we see this Genesis 24, the bride for Isaac. Such a wonderful, intimate, perfect description of Jesus Christ sending the Holy Ghost to prepare a bride, to go get that bride for him. Hallelujah. How the Father has sent that wonderful servant to go get that bride for his son. Esther, Ruth, Song of Solomon, Proverbs, the virtuous woman, all of these types and shadows of the bride in the Old Testament. Amen. All right. But even more specifically tonight, we're going to talk about these four living ones. And these four living ones have been mentioned from the beginning of the Word of God too. Mentioned that to folks that are Christians, and they said, really? Where were they? Well, they were called living ones, living creatures. Back there in Ezekiel, we'll hit that in a minute. They're also known as cherubims, also known as seraphims. Hallelujah. And we'll see in those types and shadows that God has given us these all the way through. So we're going to go back just for a few minutes. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 1, and we'll begin there to rejoice in the thoughts of his bride. Yes, his bride-to-be, by the grace of God, us, that are clearly seen in this wonderful text here. And in Ezekiel 1, and as you're turning there, I don't want to forget to mention, too, you know, the cherubims are first mentioned when Adam and Eve are removed from the garden. God sets the cherubims there at the entrance of Eden, and it's so sweet because he sets them there right with a flaming sword. Isn't that wonderful? So it shows that the cherubims at the very beginning, there's something about on fire for the word of God. I love that. That's encouragement. Take that. You know, there's a lot of type and shadow. That heart is on fire. They're fiery ones, these ones that will win Christ best. But the details are wonderful. And we're just going to examine a few as we pick it up here from the third verse. I'm just going to go through quickly and comment. But in the third verse of Ezekiel 1, it says, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of Chaldeans by the river of Kebar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind. I'm going to do this quickly because this is just a little quick overview. But there's some words here that mean so much in the Hebrew that are so absolutely incredible. So when he looks and he sees the whirlwind, this word in the Hebrew means caught up together. I just love it. I hope 1 Thessalonians 4 is just flapped, you know, through your heart that, you know, the trump shall sound, hallelujah, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And that's that, again, that caught up together, that wonderful encouragement of a rapture. So what Ezekiel's seeing here is, I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud. Hallelujah. And a fire enfolding itself. And that word enfolding, a fire enfolding, in the Hebrew it means to take a wife. Isn't that something? So we have a whirlwind, this caught up together, and in that cloud or in that whirlwind was take a wife. Go look up these words for yourself. I'm just doing it for you so you can encourage yourself in the Lord. But this is not happenstance. And I'm telling you, I want you to pray for me, because I do believe in some way, shape, or form, we need to do some encouragement on these definitions, and just to have these right next to actually just putting it out to say, okay, you know, here's our King James Version. And by the way, here is this meaning and this meaning. So it's just right there. But that's why you have a little pen in your hand. And that's why I mark those Bibles up, and just to be encouraged to go back and study these things. So, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. So much in there, but again, just the highlights tonight. And out of the midst, so again, out of the midst, we just read about the midst of the throne, out of the midst, came the likeness of four living creatures. Look at that. There they are. The four beasts, and actually, the King James Version says the four beasts, but the actual interpretation of that in the Greek is four living creatures. So here are the four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces. Every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. So we start to get these attributes about these wonderful creatures. And notice they have straight feet. They have feet that are in line. Again, it speaks about just being in accordance with the word and the will of God. That walking in the light, not walking as to where I want to go. It's straight. Remember how I said straight is the gate, narrow is the way? And this is what it is. It's this wonderful walk in the Lord. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass, and they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and their four had their faces and their wings. So again, you get this humanness, but yet you get the humanness with the wings. Isn't that wonderful? I realize I'm human, but praise God, by His Spirit, I'm an overcomer. I soar. And this is that encouragement of these wings again. And this, and you notice that this emphasis here, because this is the earthly vision, the difference you'll see with what we're speaking of, if you caught that, there were six wings on the living creatures in Revelation. But that's a heavenly vision. We'll get to understanding about that number six. But in this earthly vision of these four, this speaks of human weakness. See, that's why Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. Because when I am weak, then I'm strong. The very power of Christ rests upon me. You want to be a full overcomer? You better really embrace your weakness. Hallelujah. That's it. It's not, well, I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. No, it's because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is that encouragement we get from this. So then going on to verse 9. Their wings were joined one to another. And that's so sweet about the cherubims. The cherubims, praise God, you'll never see the word cherubim or seraphim in a singular. It's always in a plural. Cherubims, seraphims, interesting words. I love them. They even sound odd and peculiar, just like his bride. But it's wonderful because it's a company. It's a company. And thank the Lord, as it says that their wings were joined, there's a unity of the Spirit. There's a oneness. They're seeking, it's the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. It's the word and the will of God. And they turn not when they went. Notice, again, they go straight forward. Isn't that wonderful? They don't need to turn. They just go on. It's by faith you go on. You don't try to make your own way. You go with the Lord. Hallelujah. And it will be that straightforward way. As for the likeness of their faces, they had four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox, on the left side, the four had also the face of an eagle. So there is the same living creatures, the same beasts that we're seeing here are the same type of the beast, again, that we see in Revelation chapter 4 there. And then it says, thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Isn't that wonderful? The wings are stretched upward. I love that. You know, you have, and if the hands are under there, they need to be up there. So you're stretching upward. You praise him and worship. I love that. I was always thankful for King Solomon. He said so sweetly how he learned. He said, remember how he said, I learned to lift my hands and to worship him. I just know that he had wished he had continued to do that instead of go infatuated with all them wives, huh? Then he wouldn't have been out there saying, oh, vanity of vanity, if he just would have lived that life of encouragement to praise the Lord. Amen? So I love that encouragement there. And then it says, two wings of every side were joined one another, and two covered their bodies. And they went, everyone, straight forward. See, again, that straightness, that straightforward. See, this isn't just a hodgepodge deal. You follow Paul as he followed Christ. It's a mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This isn't just, well, I'm going to choose my way. No, it's his way. It's his thoughts. It's his word. Praise God. And I thank the Lord. This is why it's straight. And it's straightforward. Whither the Spirit was to go. That's what's so wonderful. It's the Spirit. What does the Spirit say to the churches? And again, what do we know of the Holy Ghost at this age and at this time? The only thing he takes, the only thing he'll speak of, the only thing he'll testify of is Jesus. The Word of God. It's not going to be some word or some prophecy of something that doesn't pertain to the Word of God. I know that that's, I'll tell you what, I can discern that spirit real quick. That spirit isn't of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is going to speak the Word of God. And that's why we don't have to be tossed to and fro and double-minded in these things, brothers and sisters. As for the likeness, verse 13, of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. Out of the fire went forth lightning, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Remember how we read that of the throne at the very beginning of Revelation 4, how that lightning came out of the throne and everything? This is the four living ones. This is that bridal company. It's so wonderful, that ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ. It's just, it's so apparent. It's so wonderful. I hope you get a little bit more encouraged with that. And again, I am just commenting, but I want to make sure we understand you'd never have a vision of this, first of all, without the Holy Ghost. Second of all, without Paul's gospel, you'd have never any knowledge of why this is even here and what this means. How many times have people said, well, you know, I've read the Bible through 10 times. Would you ever be able to talk about this and to really understand this? It's wonderful to read the Word of God. I thank the Lord for anybody who's ever read any part of the Word of God, but it is by faith. It's got to be by the Spirit that these things are going to be revealed. I'm praying that we have a heart for God to really know the Word of God and to search the Scriptures, because there is the most amazing treasure for our lives and with the Lord, and it's all here. And this is what this is encouraging and what this means. This is a type and a shadow of what will be. And what these cherubims, hallelujah, these four living ones, they are a company that will rule and reign jointly together with Jesus Christ as his bride. And he was mentioning these things way back when. It's so wonderful. Now, these same four living ones, they're called cherubim in Ezekiel chapter 10. In chapter 6, they're called seraphims. And the seraphims, I won't go there, but again, in the sixth chapter of Isaiah, excuse me, sixth chapter of Isaiah, the seraphims, they're described as the fairest of stars and the choice part. If you look those definitions up of the words that are used, the fairest of the stars, the brightest, the most beautiful of the glory, hallelujah, and even the choice part of all of the celestial, this is the seraphims, again, speaking of the bride. And if you'll go over there, you know what they cry unto the Lord? Holy, holy, holy. Didn't we just read what they cried to God? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. So see, praise his name. This is, he's written of these things. These love letters were written to us in ages past. Hallelujah. Even at this precious time of hearing Ezekiel and in Isaiah, and praise be to God, they're now revealed unto us. So there's no doubt who they are. And our Lord, praise God, there is no doubt he's in love with us. Praise his name. From there, I'll mention this. You could go back and you could look at the cherubim in Exodus and in Kings. And where that was encouraged is it talks about there in Exodus when they were building the Ark of the Covenant, when God was telling them about that Ark of the Covenant that they would put Aaron's the rod in, and they would put the tablets in. And when they were building that, the Lord had told them that there would be a covering up on the ark. It was a lid, but it was also known as the mercy seat. And the mercy seat, praise God, was what they would cover with the blood. And we thank God that that mercy seat, it said, was made of one piece of beaten gold. It was beaten gold and beaten. It, again, speaking of that suffering. And out of the ends of the mercy seat, and I love that, to think about that. At the end of mercy, what happens? Praise God. Cherubim. Hallelujah. At the end of mercy, hallelujah, that's the bride. See, she's always looking at the mercy. Her eyes are upon it. But on that mercy seat, that one piece of gold, out of the two ends, there were two cherubim. And you can kind of, you know, if you ever want to use Google for a good thing or something like that, they actually have little pictures. There's a few good ones in there of ones that have depicted what that lid would look like. And you have these two cherubim, and their wings are touching over the mercy seat. Their heads are hidden, and their gaze is right upon the mercy, right upon the blood, and it never changes. So there again, we have those wonderful encouragement of the cherubims. And again, notice, it's all because of the mercy of the Lord. There's no work involved in that. It's just his love. It's just his grace. It's so wonderful. You'll even read of these cherubim. They're engraved in the pillars. Even the precious linen, the curtains that were right there going into the Holy of Holies. Those curtains, they had cherubim upon the curtains. It was always there. It was always in that encouragement. And where was the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God? It was in the Holy of Holies. And who were the ones that were in there with him? The cherubims. They were always in the Holy of Holies. He always saw that bride and that company with him in the depths of the truth. Praise his name. It's all there. And I'm thankful to God that we're encouraged in this. But again, I had mentioned about the two cherubims. That they're always, again, it's a plural that it's always mentioned. It's never singular, so it speaks again of a company. Their wings touch over the mercy seat, showing again the harmony. Their gaze is only at the blood, the incredible blood on the mercy seat. And praise God, they're praising him for his mercy till he come. Amen. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, that's so important. It's been so encouraged upon my heart. You know, sometimes when people get a lot of knowledge, you know what the Word of God says? They get puffed up. Yep. Love edifies. Love is the spiritual encouragement. And we need this knowledge. We have to have this knowledge. But it's that knowledge of truth in love. It's that spirit and truth. And God help us, brothers and sisters, to always so appreciate and embrace the mercy of the Lord. When you embrace and praise him for his mercy, you'll never get legal. You won't. You won't be legal. You'll be so thrilled about the mercy of the Lord that it is. It's just unconditional love. It's unconditional grace. Praise God. He just loves us so. And that's why this mercy is so, so, so wonderful. I love that. Always think of the curtains of Solomon, but I love the tents of Kedar. It's so beautiful, that wonderful mercy. I am what I am by the grace of God. So, can you imagine there's a lot more detail here? But you know, I'm just going to tell you this. Go search it out. We did a study, and I know it's a few studies, on the cherubim and the seraphims, and they're on the website. I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that. I believe it'll be a real blessing to you. It's got some real depth in the details there. But as you get into the depths and the details, even hearing these things tonight, for those who haven't maybe even heard these things or brought this back to bring this up to Revelation 4, is this hard to connect? By the grace of God, it's not. It's just like a little cookie on the shelf. It's just, well, yes, I see that there. That's not hard to see. Oh, you mean that's four living ones back there and the four living... Well, my goodness, that wouldn't be a coincidence. There's nothing coincidental about the Lord. It's all purpose. It's divine purpose. And these are divine, wonderful things that he is showing to those that will to know, will know. And it's always going to be the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. But you know, for things to be simple, you need to study them, don't you? Amen? How many ever, I mean, you don't need to brag, and I don't need to see hands. Did there enough in here that finally got geometry? Did you just get it when you got in there? Man, I was an ace at geometry, but when I started, man, it was like, what in the world is that? But I got it, and then it became easy. It became simple, those little theorems and things like that. Wish I could have said that about algebra, but never happened. But the point was, is that it is easy. It's just, it needs to be understood. And the Spirit reveals it. But it will never be understood if I don't apply myself to learn. It'll just be something I heard, wow, that sounds really interesting, but I'm not interested. By the grace of God, that's when we need to pray. And I thank God that you're here at a Bible study. But this is it. This is it. Everything else is going to pass away. This is it. The Word of God endures forever. And I'll tell you one thing. I want to know my birthright. When he said, I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, I want to know this. I want to know what he has given. I want to know those exceeding great and precious promises. I want to stand upon those. I want to enjoy them. Praise God. I want to live a life of a readied wife, not just somebody that's trying to be ready. By the grace of God, I want to believe him. Hallelujah, that it is readiness now. Hallelujah. All right, let's go on. I encourage you to go on and read many of those things on the website. I think it'll encourage you as well. So now that we clearly see how special these cherubims are and these four living ones, this intimate, everlasting thoughts of the bridegroom for her, let's go ahead and rejoice in back into Revelation where we read tonight, and this will kind of pull it together, I believe. So he first tells us here in verse 6, as it starts, and before the throne was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Now, this sea speaks of the word of God, speaks of the blood, it speaks of the cleansing. The blood brought us all nigh to Christ. Amen. So there we go. That's why this wonderful sea, this cleansing, has brought us all to Christ. In Revelation 7, we'll read of this sea again. And we'll notice in Revelation 7 that the innumerable multitude, another company that is caught up into heaven at a later time into the tribulation, not like these four living ones who are caught up into heaven at the beginning, not like these four living ones that are caught up at the beginning and in the midst of the throne and are seated in that throne, this innumerable group of believers is standing before the throne, and they will stand on this sea of glass. And they will stand on that sea of glass with palms in their hands, not with crowns on their heads, not worshiping, not conducting, as we'll see, praising and giving thanks and glory and honor. But they are waving those palms, praising God, but only with the praise of salvation to our God. Thank God for salvation. But oh, thank the Lord for the bride who calls out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We got to a different level when we got to the third holy. You talk about separated unto him. That's who she is. She believes in his wondrous grace. So their presence, as we see here, these four living ones, they're seated in the midst of the throne. This is the only company in heaven, of all those companies that we see in heaven, the 24 elders, the four living ones, the innumerable multitude, we see the 144,000, all of them. This is the only one of those companies that is stated that they are seated. They are seated in the midst of the throne. That means they are in his throne with him. That is, praise God. That is the revelation of Romans 8:17. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer together with him, that we also might be glorified together with him. So we thank the Lord that again, in bringing these scriptures together, this is who she is. Now notice here too, it says that she's in the midst, but also she's round about. We'll even read in another place where this four living ones, they're down there singing even with the innumerable multitude. Now wait a second, this group is here, there, there. They're everywhere. How could this group be everywhere? Because they're like him. Aren't they going to be like him? You bet they're going to be like him. And they're going to be omnipresent, just like him. And I thank God in that regard. It just encourages me that there's nothing to wonder here about. This is just because they're like him. There's so much glory. There's so much fellowship. There's so much love. They love the saints. Their presence will be in all of that fellowship. Hallelujah. And notice here, and I mentioned this as well, they're called beasts. But truly, the words that are given to them in the Greek more perfectly are living creatures. And I love that, that alive, again, speaks back of 1 Thessalonians 4. Those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together. There's that power, hallelujah, that passion, thank you, Jesus, of these creatures. And I thank God. And I'll tell you what, calling them beasts, I don't mind either. Because I'll tell you, there's a fight. These are feisty ones. Them that take heaven take it by force, don't they? Amen? Aren't these the ones that fight the good fight? Hallelujah. They do, don't they? They do. They're fighters, but they're also lovers. But I'll tell you what, when you're really in love, you will really fight. Amen? Amen, you will. Heard a story about Mama Bear? All right, okay. So, this number four. So we get to that. So it says, and before the throne there was a sea of glass under crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne, there were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And this is very precious here because now we see the number of them is four. And I mentioned that earlier. It's so important. It's so wonderful. Four is the number of human weakness. Praise God. That's what grace is all about. That's when you really lay hold of grace, is when you realize without him, I can't do anything. That's the beauty of, it's the word of his grace that builds the masterpiece. This is that wonderful encouragement of this number four. It is human weakness, the beauty of our complete weakness, so grace alone can build the masterpiece, his wife. Is it any wonder, remember the Church of Philadelphia? He said, thou hast a little strength. See, it emphasized not necessarily the strength, but just how little the strength was. You know what, brothers and sisters? We're still not completely, completely weak in our faith. In a sense, knowing that weakness is what I'm saying. We're strong in faith, but I'm talking about the beauty of weakness. There's still fibers of me that still get in the way. So I'm thankful to God that it isn't a lot of strength of me, even a mild bit of strength. It's just a little strength by the grace of God. And I love that, there's another way to look at that. She has a little strength. This emphasizes his power. This emphasizes his mercy, his wonderful grace, and that it is by his Spirit, saith the Lord. And I thank God. I praise him all the time. I thank God that I can't do anything. I really do. I am so thankful that my life is reliant upon the power of the Lord. I can be encouraged of God. I can write down a few notes on a page or something of that nature. But I know it's got to be the power of the Holy Ghost to ever get up here, to ever speak on this magnificence of who he is and what he sees in you. And truly that is. It's just to believe it. The thing is just praying God, shut this thing off. And Lord, just speak. Lord, I just want to be a mouthpiece. And I'm telling you the truth is just to speak truly. Lord, let the Spirit give it. Amen. But then, not just here, but in everything in our lives, amen? To just walk in that boldness, no matter where I am at in a day, Lord, you're going to take me where I'm at today. Maybe you think you're going to get up and go to work, and maybe you do go to work. But whether whatever goes on in that work, can we believe that it is from the hand of God? Whether it was something pleasing that day, or maybe boss really had a bad time, or my coworker is Beelzebub himself. I don't know what's going on, but I know who knows and actually has it all going on. See, nothing gets by him. And in that boldness, I want to walk. And I don't want to have my, in a sense, state of spirit predicated on the environment. I want to have that peace that passes all understanding because my relationship is all going on in here. Amen? See, it's not out about in here. And what I've come to find out is when I just rest in him and I settle down in him and the power of Christ just truly radiates in my life, it changes lots of things in my life. It'll irritate people enough to just get out of the way. It'll encourage people that I love that are having a hard time. You know what? By the grace of God, Christ in you is encouraging Christ in me. So you know what? I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it wasn't me. It was the grace of God that's with me. So if we can be used of that incredible strength and power, praise be to God. So we thank the Lord again here that it is this weakness, the blessedness of our weakness, our infirmity, as Brother Paul said, and the power of Christ rests upon me. This four, seen so many different ways in the Word of God, but I love this. As you got into the tabernacle in the wilderness, you know, you walk through the entrance of it, you had the five pillars to get in. But once you got back to the Holy of Holies, there were four pillars. So by grace you enter in, and it's always by grace. But to even go into that wonderful, beautiful relationship, the relationship of the cherubim, that last place of going into the Holy of Holies, it was four pillars there. That complete weakness, completely stripped of myself. Lord, I know it's you. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful that I know that I can't bring anything except the Lamb of God. And then we thank the Lord here as we move on. They're full of eyes. I love that. Before and behind. This speaks of enlightened eyes of understanding. We know that the Word of God tells us that it's the Holy Ghost that does it. For our eyes to see these things, and in the depths of the truth, we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. It must be by His Spirit, praise be to God. And that is exactly why He told His disciples. He said, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot understand. You can't bear them now until He, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Ghost. And He goes on to say, He's been with you and He shall be in you. And Jesus said, I have to go to send Him. He had to ascend to the right hand of the Father to send the Holy Spirit to take them into this church age. The church age, the purpose of it. To take all the things of Christ and make them yours. Just like that wonderful servant in Genesis 24. The master sent the servant with all the things of the master. You know, you think, well, how could he have all of it? He did have all of it. Just like we have all of it. We've got all the word. And he sent that to him. He says, you go find my son a wife from amongst my people. Always remember that. He didn't say, go find my wife in the world. Go find my wife amongst my people. Go into them and find her. And you will, and she'll be at that well, and she'll come. Praise God. So this is it. This is that same wonderful encouragement that we have here. This is why they're full of eyes. There's this precious, wonderful, enlightened eyes of understanding. It says in the Word of God that without a vision, people perish. Without this vision, love grows cold. And notice, full of eyes. I love that word full. Think about the word full in the Word of God. Filled with all the fullness of God. Amen? To be full of the Holy Ghost. Like Barnabas. Like Stephen, hallelujah, like Brother Paul, full of the knowledge of Christ. They know Him and they know the love of Christ. The word full, so powerful in Scripture, tells us to be full of joy, to be full of the new wine, to be full of the Spirit. Praise God, he that is full of grace and truth. Nothing lacking, full, all in all, him. Praise God. Is that the vision we have? Is that our fullness? Is that where we see it everywhere? It's everywhere, before and behind. Hallelujah. Seeing those things in the Old Testament, seeing them in the New, before and behind. How many ways can he tell you this? How many ways can I tell you? I love you, honey. And you'll see this. You'll see me in this word. You'll see me in everything. And I love this before and behind as well, too. The word behind means prior, but it also means first rank. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, just all these little tidbits of beauty that he continues to give us another rose. Hallelujah. Then verse 7, closing it up here. The living ones, it says here in verse 7. The first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man. The fourth beast was like a flying eagle. This is wonderful. Such perfect order here. The reason that each of these beasts come in this order and each of these four are exactly these beasts is because this was the vision, praise the Lord, of Jesus Christ himself in the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you look at Matthew, that depicts Jesus as the king. We know this in many ways throughout the writings of Matthew, but the one of the biggest ways we know this, that is, do you know Matthew starts with the lineage of Jesus. The reason that they're given the lineage of Jesus is to show that he came from David. So it gave the lineage of the king. So we see, again, over and over in the Word of God, just to bring this out again, that's why in Matthew, you see the king, which is the lion. Hallelujah. That's the first beast. Now we get to the second one, Mark. You'll notice in Mark, when it starts and begins, there's no lineage there because it's a servant. Servant doesn't have any lineage. See? And then again in Mark, it talks about that servant and all. And who's the servant? It's the ox. So we see that perfect submission of our wonderful Lord and Jesus Christ. We get to Luke. That's the face of a man. Luke, if we go back into Luke, it speaks of Jesus the man. Isn't that wonderful? So encouraging. It's just exact. It's perfect. And then the fourth is the overcoming eagle. Now, why do we get the overcoming eagle? Because it gives the lineage of Jesus in John. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The full overcoming eagle. The soaring one. The one over it all. Isn't that exciting? So here we have. And then again, as you read through it, you get that theme through each one of those. But that's why these four living ones, they're like him. They're the ones here now that have changed from glory to glory into the very image, him. Hallelujah. And we know, again, it's so wonderful, the number four, those four Gospels, speak of that complete weakness. And that is the encouragement that we have. One other thing that I'd like to note here. These four living ones, their identity is Jesus. They're like him. Think of how we started the fourth chapter. We saw the throne. And the very first stone that it speaks of that's in that stone, there's two, is that jasper stone. Remember the jasper stone, the one thing about it? It's so beautiful, it's so perfect, it's transparent. You see through it. And what do you see through that jasper stone? You see that sardis, you see the red, you see the blood, you see Jesus. And this is the same thing, this type again. She's sincere. She's transparent. She's the very glory of him because it's all him. And this is what we see. This is what is so apparent and so wonderful in this scripture that it's all him. She has grown from glory to glory. She has grown up into him in all things. And then finally, In verse 8, it says, "And the four beasts, each of them had six wings about him. They were full of eyes." So here we have this vision again. "But now not just before and behind, they're within. And they rest not day and night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come.'" Forever. He's just Alpha Omega. He's so beautiful. But notice here, each one has six wings. Now we went from the four wings of Ezekiel, which we saw them as an earthly vision. Now we've got the heavenly vision. And no longer four wings, but we have six. This speaks of complete victory. That wonderful six representing humanness, but yet the full overcoming victory of yielding to the Spirit. Oh, what a wonder the grace of God is. And this time, those eyes are full within. Do you have eyes full within? Do you realize that Christ in you is the hope of glory? Isn't that wonderful? See, it's not out here. It's what Jesus is doing in here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. That's the message in Colossians that is the mystery of Christ in the church. Is Christ in you, the hope of glory? I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. I have to take you to a high mountain, though, John, and I'll show you she descends from heaven having the glory of God and her light. Oh, my. See it all coming together over and over and more, how powerful this is. But these eyes within speaks of seeing the heart. Brothers and sisters, we have to have eyes for the new man. Remember how Brother Paul said when he was taken up into heaven? What did he glory in? He said, "I glory in that man, the man I hope to be." He saw that perfect, finished, complete one, this one that was these four living ones, these ones that were like Christ. He says, "I glory in that." He wasn't glorying in himself and what he could achieve. He was glorying in the grace of God, of what the word of his grace would build him up and give him that inheritance among all them also that are sanctified. That's what he gloried in. This is what this encouragement is. And that speaks of seeing this heart, seeing the new man, seeing the height of Christ in me, the hope of glory. What a vision, what a sight of all faith, the substance and evidence of the eternal. And notice these ones, what do? They worship, and they never cease, and it's day and night. Amen? I'll tell you what, drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss. I still bother my wife a lot. I have to wake her up at night and tell her, "Honey, what? I love you. Go to sleep." I do. I bug her because I love her. She draws nigh in fervent love to kiss day and night. Day and night. That's what worship is. Never ceasing in the glory and thanksgiving and praise to him. Never ceasing. Holy, holy, holy. You did it. You did it all. Holy, 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 you. You did it all. It's all because of you, Lord God Almighty, which was and is is to come. Praise God. We'll stop there tonight. I pray it encourages. He comes on strong. You know, I just love sometimes when people come in here first, second, third time. Yeah, he gets pretty serious on his first date. Does he loves you, wants to just pour his heart out. And thanks be to God, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I want to know these things. I thank the Lord that you do. And again, it's not the knowledge of head, it's the knowledge of a heart. It's that intimacy of a husband and a wife. Let's stand and be dismissed.